2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Glory to God. Yes, thank you, Master. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Oh, what the world does not know. What religion does not know. You ever been in those places where it's illegal to clap your hands? You shout, you get thrown out. You're interrupting silence. You're not even interrupting God, you're just interrupting silence. And Jesus is still waiting at the door to let him in. They've locked him out. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we welcome you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can just throw me right out of the way and take over this whole place and do whatever you want. Okay. In the meantime. Glory. Where did I say to go? Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. It says what? But know this, that in the what? Last days. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? If you don't, you know now. Now you have no excuse. Amen? That perilous times will come. Perilous times is an arena where not only is there things going in the world that can bring discouragement, fear, despair, but in the spirit realm, there's a battle going on. When he says perilous times, he's also representing the area and expressing the area that in the spirit realm, there's a tremendous fight going on. I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's a lot of damage, a lot of people dying, all kinds of stuff going on right now in the body of Christ. A lot of people that are out of position are getting taken out. People behind pulpits, all kinds of things. All kinds of things are going on. Remember, you know, the word tells us that the evil would increase in the latter days. Amen? So there's going to be an escalation of evil as there'll be an escalation of righteousness. And he says, for men will be what? Lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of what? Money. Boasters. Proud. Come on, speak it with me. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without what? Self-control. That means control over self. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of what? Lovers of what?
Pleasure.
Lovers of what?
Pleasure.
Pleasure rather than lovers of God. Whoa, but they're going to have a what? Form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power of God. And from such people do what? Turn away. Has everybody got it? In other words, be careful of what you associate with. Amen? Be careful of what you what? Associate with. Now, understand that in this, he says, in the last days, not only perilous times, the lovers of self, money, they're going to be lovers of fame and lovers of pleasure of the world. They are going to be called pleasure seekers. You're seeing an escalation of pleasure seekers. And the problem is that they're pleasure seekers of the temporary. See, there's a difference between a treasure seeker of the eternal and a pleasure seeker of the temporary. Does everybody understand that? I'm going to say that again. There's a difference between a pleasure seeker of the temporary compared to a treasure seeker of the eternal. And what's happening now, you're going to see not only the escalation of this, but you're going to see the increase of it and the exposure of it. Remember, we talked about before that there would be a turning, flipping, and knocking over of the tables where Jesus was going to begin to expose multiple things. Amen? In Luke chapter 8, would you go there with me? Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they what? Fall away. In other words, temptation always causes them to, they blow it. They quit. They run. They're not a fighter, they're a runner. Or they fall back into the world again. In verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with what? Cares, riches, and what? Pleasures of life, and bring what? No fruit to maturity. In other words, they only last a period of time. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, in other words, they were humble, keep it and bear fruit with what? Patience. Patience. That means endurance. How many of y'all know you got to have endurance? You have to have endurance in everything. Now, again, I'm going to go back to what we've talked about before, because there's a price to pay to overcome. There's a price in victory. Anybody remember that price? Cooperation. No cooperation, no victory. Amen? So the pleasures of life of the world steal the treasures of eternity. People are living for self with no control over self, and instead of living for God with control over self. Now, self loves lust. Lust. It's not just sexual. It desires anything, everything, more. It always wants more, but it's looking to fulfill the flesh in every area. In 1 John chapter 2. So what we're going to see in these last days more and more and more is pleasure seekers. And that's what the battle is. There'll be one day that you're with someone that's a treasure seeker. Next thing you know, they become a pleasure seeker. In 1 John chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 15, let's speak it. It says what? Do not love the world or what? Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who what? Does the will of God does what? Abides forever. He who does the will of God. And I want to share something with you, because a pleasure seeker is one who's always looking to fulfill his emotion. His emotion is priority than the will of God. In verse 18, it says what? Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. It says they went out from us, but they were what? Not of us, because they became what? Pleasure seekers instead of treasure seekers. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be what? Made manifest. And that's what's happening. God is doing a shaking and manifesting. He's doing a separation. We talked about a goat and a sheep. And the ones that become pleasure seekers are goated. He says something powerful. He says, but we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. In other words, when you're in the Spirit, you see, you know. As you begin to live in the Spirit and learn to walk and live in the Spirit, and you are fellowshipping with the Spirit, temptation does not get near you. You sense it from a distance off. If you don't sense it from a distance off and it's very close to you, then there's a problem. There's something that's not happening. You're not maintaining the oil and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you're not first striking. Amen? In other words, the enemy still has an open arena to you where you're still pleasure-seeking instead of treasure-seeking. See, if there's still things in the world that you want, that you desire, then you must be careful. Because our desire is supposed to be his desire, not our own. That's where we exchange our desires. Lord, I give you my desires for your desires. See, when you sense that you're desiring something of the world, you've got to put it in his hands. Why? Because it will overtake you. You don't think that the enemy knows? Let me tell you, that desire is always attached with an emotion. Amen? Every desire is attached to an emotion. And if the enemy can attach you to that desire, he can get fed from you by releasing an emotion, because demons get fed by emotion. Does everybody get that? That's why it's important to put it in his hands and let him return it to you. Never take nothing out of anywhere, but unless it's released from him. Everything that comes to you goes back to him and then gets released from him. Hallelujah. He says, don't love the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, which is influenced by the Antichrist spirits that rule the earth, attempting to bring people into bondage and slavery by deception and beginning to entice believers. They're enticing believers in every area. What are they trying to do? They're trying to entice them and try to tell them. Let me tell you what the devil loves to tell you. God is holding something from you. And you know what happens to a person? When the devil went up. Let me tell you, God will never tell you he's holding something from you. He may not answer you. He may say in due time. But he's not whole. And the only reason why he's waiting for something. Listen, he doesn't hold anything good for me and you. Does everybody understand that? But the devil always tried to tell you, God's holding this back from you. You need to do this. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to move out of position. So, and he tries to water that desire. If he can water that desire, it begins and entice you more and more and more. It grows more and more and more. Where that emotion begins to overtake you and you connect with it, then you do it. I hear many people say, well, it's love at first sight. No, it's lust at first sight. You have a lust affair, not a love affair. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So one of the things he's trying to do is tell you that God's holding something back. What happens then? The person begins to, he gets removed from self-control, which is controlling over self, where now self is controlling you. The lust, the flesh. And what happens is, then they begin to obey the presence of evil, which is called sin. And they usually manifest by offense and run. Offense and run. Not a fighter. They become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Those are pleasure seekers. You'll know them by the fruit. They are men pleasers and not God pleasers. They'll have a form of godliness, but they still please men. Matthew 6. These are the things that are God. The Lord is exposing the, again, we are training sessions where the enemy's always exposing the, or God is always exposing the enemy's tactics. Amen? Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Hello. See, these are areas where as we self-examine, we examine ourselves, where is this desire from? What's the outcome of this desire? Why am I being enticed? What's my motive? See, if we're not taking the time to examine everything, then you're not in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Because the Word just says that if we're in the Spirit, the anointing, what does it do? It tells us and shows us all things, doesn't it? So if we're not seeing these things, then we're not in the Spirit. We're in the flesh. Matthew 6:19. Is everybody okay? What does it say? Do not what? Lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up what? For yourselves what? Treasures where? In heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and what? Steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why he says be treasure seekers, not pleasure seekers. Amen? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Here it is. Are you ready? 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or man. See, you'll become loyal to one and disloyal to another. Somebody got it. You know, that's one of the things that really is lacking a lot, even in the kingdom, loyalty. People are out for themselves. They're truly not out. I'm not saying everyone, don't get me wrong, but this is where the manifestation is happening. This is where the Lord is kicking over those tables and exposing things. He's looking for people that are loyal. Listen, he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for loyal people. People he can trust that can show up. People he can trust that when he sends them. This is loyalty. People, listen, would you want to go in a military operation with someone you don't trust? No. And people who don't trust God, God can't trust them. Would you go with someone, if the Lord is sending you to someone to the hospital or whatever to pray, and this person doesn't trust God, would you go there with them? No way. I'd leave him in the car. In fact, they wouldn't even get in my car. Hallelujah. These are temporary pleasure seekers, not eternal treasure seekers. And this is what is expressed and expanding more and more every day because we're in the last days. Why? Because the influence. People are allowing themselves to be influenced. They're allowing it. Then they're blaming God. They get in trouble. And the Lord's saying, I didn't do anything. You allowed it. I gave you every weapon. I gave you every desire. I tried to speak to you, tell you, and warn you. And you rejected it. Luke 14. These are last day pleasure seekers, man. And you don't want to be known as a pleasure seeker. You want to be known as a treasure seeker. Amen? And don't get me wrong. There are pleasures of the kingdom, isn't there? There are wonderful pleasures. You know what the greatest pleasure is? To know that you're pleasing God. That's the greatest pleasure there is. To know that you're pleasing Him. In verse 25, would you speak it with me? Luke 14, 25. Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and He said to them, what? If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. In other words, you got to, listen, when He said, do you want a new life? This is what He meant. I'll give you a new life if you let go of all these. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? What's the cost? Cooperation. Whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple. That's actually saying goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye to what? Your past. Goodbye. In Mark 8. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8. In verse 31, is everybody there? Let's speak it. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind Me, Satan. Now, you may think he was actually rebuking Peter, but he was actually rebuking the devil. Does everybody understand that? For you are not mindful of things of God, but mindful of things of what? Oh, man, mindful of things of men. Why? The Lord rebuked Satan knowing that he was being used. He was using Peter. Amen? Satan, a demon, was using Peter. Does everybody got it? Of course, it was most likely Satan trying to get to Jesus. In verse 34, and when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, what? Whoever desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross or his sword and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. In other words, this adulterous and sinful generation carries the presence of evil. Of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory and his Father with the holy angels. So again, he rebukes Satan, who's using Peter. Why? Because Peter wasn't denying himself, was he? Amen. And again, as he calls it an adulterous, sinful generation. In other words, they were pleasure seekers, not treasure seekers. That's what this generation is about. In James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 1, let's speak this, please. What does it say? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for what? Pleasure that war in your members. Now let me share this again. These are desires of pleasures. In other words, they're worldly desires. In other words, people are putting things of the world more in their life than they are putting things of God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that going to a football game, baseball game, or what, but some people are in the arena to where they are committed to worldly treasures than they are more committed to our worldly pleasures than they are committed to godly treasures. They're more loyal to worldly pleasures than they are to godly treasures. Amen? He says, listen, these things warn your members. He said, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your carnal, temporary pleasures. And he go, look at here again. What does he say? For adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God, meaning hatred. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me share this with you. When a person becomes a pleasure seeker instead of a treasure seeker, he becomes an enemy of God. Why is he an enemy of God? God's not his enemy. That person's God's enemy because God cannot trust him. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, and then you'll be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, they're wanting to spend it on pleasures of lust and not willing to submit. These are temporary pleasures of sin. Does everybody understand that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. And we will see more and more manifestations of these things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, Jesus came to bring us life and life abundantly, but one of the things he said, don't misuse this freedom. Amen? Don't misuse this. In other words, don't use it to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, which is the body of Christ. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception, which is going to entice people to become pleasure seekers instead of treasure seekers. Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. In other words, if they're not willing to turn, they're going to get worse. They're going to get more. In other words, they've been deceived. But let me tell you, deception can turn into delusion. And strong delusion can take you right out. Where you can't even, nobody can talk to that person. Nobody can say anything to that person. They're convinced, they're gone, they're whatever. They're more man pleaser and pleasers than God pleaser. They'll have a form of godliness, but you can't say nothing to that person. Only the Lord can intervene and break that person's heart and hope to come humble and repent and turn. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had what? Pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. How many of y'all know rebellion is unrighteousness? How about disobedience? That's unrighteousness. See, people take, you know, in other words, one of the things that seems to be happening so much is that the compromise of righteousness is escalating. In other words, there's compromise of sin, presence of evil. There's so much compromise. People are just petting it. They're not exposing it. They're allowing it to happen without doing nothing about it. Well, that's just how they are. No, it's what's influencing them. It's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. Amen? And expose it. We're not supposed to agree with it. If you know somebody's not walking right with the Lord, you don't go hang with them. Why? Because if you do, then you're approving what they're doing. Does everybody get this? And if you approve, and if you're approving what they're doing, you'll be judged along right with them. It seems that it just can't penetrate. It just doesn't penetrate. That righteousness of God that's trying to penetrate his body, it just seems that it's just not united. It's not united. It's not oneness in the kingdom. People are still touching and agreeing and listening to this and doing that and going here and going there, and they're just, oh, it's okay. They have no idea when Jesus shows up, that's over with. It's over with. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3. Listen, these things of pleasures, of unrighteousness is being promoted everywhere, isn't it? It's promoted right from the White House. It's promoted from the head all the way down. And you turn on the TV, unrighteousness is promoted. You turn on the radio, and depending on what station you listen to. So even when you're looking for the right station, you hear promotion of unrighteousness. I mean, every advertisement and everything. Everything is associated with lust. A pill, make you feel better. Fornication, all the worldly lusts. Come on, where you can feel better. Then you just feel better in God's presence. Man, you can't replace that, man. You just can't replace that. No money can buy that. Cooperation is the price. Yes. You get snapped in God's presence, man. Titus. Is everybody there? Things happen suddenly. Chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his plan. Grace is not magical or mystical. Again, grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. So it takes cooperation to fulfill grace. You have been saved by grace. How did you get saved by grace? By doing nothing? Oh yeah, God just loves me and I can do anything I want. No. You had to cooperate. What did you have to do? Humble yourself and what? Repent. Then you had to accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's called grace. You had to cooperate with God's plan. If you're not cooperating with God's plan, you have fallen from grace. Amen? Psalm 111. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 11, verse 1. Let's speak it. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my what? Whole heart. In the assembly of the what? Upright in the congregation. Praise God. Did we do that tonight? Hopefully you did. The works of the Lord are great. Now look at this. Studied by all who have pleasure in them. Now is that a good pleasure? Amen. That's a treasure seeker, isn't it? Someone who has pleasure in the works of God. That's a treasure seeker. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. This food is not physical. This food is spiritual. And he will ever be reminded of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works and giving them a heritage of the nations. Studied by those who are eternal treasure seekers, not temporary pleasure sinners. Psalm 16. Hallelujah. Psalm 16 and verse 9. Again, I want to reiterate again that pleasure seekers are ones who emotionally are seekers to feed themselves instead of spiritual seekers that feed their spirit. Psalm 16 and verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are what? pleasures from evermore, those are treasures, seekers of the pleasures of God. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages fly in on a Tuesday night. See, if you turn them fast enough, you'll fan your neighbor. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, but these pleasure seekers are like what? Natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they don't even understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are what? Accursed children. Whoa. They're what? They're accursed children. Why? Because they brought a curse on themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Let's speak it, please. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So if you're searching, if you're a treasure seeker, you'll be searching right along with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So does that mean we got to search the things out of God? Amen. Then you're a treasure seeker. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 14. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Listen, if a person goes from treasure seeker to pleasure seeker, he becomes carnal. And he becomes a natural. And the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So they one of the things that begins to happen, a person begins to lose discernment. They're not sensitive to the arena of what is of God and what's not of God. Everything to them is of God when it's not of God. Amen? So they just go by how they feel. Well, it must be God. It feels good. Well, that's Satan's doctrine, isn't it? Do what they feel like. When you and I were in a world, that's all we did. We did everything. If it felt good, let's do it. Amen? And of course, I did that for a while. I ended up in jail, nearly died a few times, and I still get up and did it. What a bonehead. Can you imagine overdosing and then go back to it? I'm telling you, I overdosed one night. I was packed in ice, and it was just a matter of hours later that I got up and started getting high again. How stupid could I have been and still breathe? It's called demonization. I was demonized. I was demon-possessed. I lived to get high, never knowing that I was looking for the true high, because that's where I came from. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians 3. Boy, I got some stories. Sheesh. Some of them I can't reveal, but they're crazy. That was a crazy cookie out there. Z might have been worse than me, man. I bet you Shinard danced it in the streets. He probably streaked that night, you know that? He's going to turn to a praise and worshiper now. He's going to be the leader of a whole band, man. Praise God. Snap. Oh, man. People, when they get drunk and high, they do strange things. Verse 7. Philippians 3:7. Would you read it with me? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Where he's got? Let's speak it. In the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if what? Anyone cleanses himself, turns from a pleasure seeker to a treasure seeker, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. So you want to be associated with them. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having become captive by him to do his will. Amen? So in other words, that we got to come to that point where we're willing to cleanse ourselves from the pleasures of the evil and become treasure seekers of his will and his purpose. And I want to close at Philippians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing, and it's flowing my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. But don't be shy now. I mean, you know, sheesh. Hallelujah. That means you scored. When you touch the other side, man, you score. Yeah. Verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to what? Will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Amen? Know that there are last day pleasure seekers. They've turned from treasure seekers to pleasure seekers. And there are those who are turning from pleasure seekers to treasure seekers. But they're being exposed more and more and more. Be careful who you hang and be careful what you approve. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted in each and every one, protected by the blood of the Lamb, so it grows and bears fruit for your glory. And let the anointing that you have released tonight in this house continue to overflow. Visit us in dreams and visions. Break every yoke of bondage and refresh us in the morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.